your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
Had to let it drop. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Great time last segment. Thank you. And a couple, I'm getting texts from my buddies. They're all beaming and they're Warriors fans, so they're beaming. They're feeling good about it. Jay Williams, we played that sound last segment. He's beaming. He thinks it's Kings and Nuggets to win the West. Woo. And I don't know if he's being Mr. Hot Take. I don't know.
Who knows?
But on a day like today, it doesn't matter.
Don't care.
It doesn't matter. All right, we had callers come in. They had it going. They're all beaming. There was only one man. One person not beaming so far.
Wasn't me.
And he's on the ones and twos, Kyle, but I appreciate you keeping it real, keeping it true. You got to do it.
Yeah,
you got to do
it. I'm anti-sports radio. No instant reaction.
I'm going to stick
with the prediction that I made at the start of the season.
Every good show needs that, though.
But that's normally what I mean? Chris, right?
See, I'm infiltrating Chris, and it's his birthday. It's his birthday.
I can't
so
be held liable for anything.
Exactly,
that I say today.
And it's the first show. Yeah. The vibes are right. I'm sure Chris will come in. I'm gonna come in after. Watch, it's gonna be Monday. Kings are gonna
three
Kings
games
are gonna
in
beat
the books.
The Warriors.
Oh, it's a wrap for everybody.
Maybe lose to the Lakers. Beat the Lakers 3-0. I'm gonna say, I want you to highlight the parade route. Mm-hmm. Just highlight the parade route so I can walk with you.
I'm going to say they're not even making the
By that
in.
Time, I'll probably be able to jog. Maybe I'll jog the parade route. I can do a lot of things, all right? But part of the beaming or dreaming is based on what we saw from last night and what was real about it and what was fake. Mm-hmm. So what were your initial thoughts on what was real and fake? I think the things that stick out that were negative, because it's about that time in the show where we say, okay, we've talked a lot about the positives here. Yep. Let's get into where the Kings could be better. We talked about De'Aaron Fox's shooting. Mm-hmm. 1-for-7, that's not going to cut it, brother.
Yep.
It's just not going to cut it when you get up against teams that are going to dare you. And we've talked about being on that island.
Yeah.
And it's a lonely place when someone says, please shoot.
Yeah.
I would love for you to shoot this basketball. De'Aaron is a guy who, if you have a hand in his face, he's a competitor. Mm-hmm. He'll put it in, but you start getting left on an island like they do Ja Morant, and I'm not being disrespectful, but they do Draymond too.
Right.
It's tough out here. Mm-hmm. It's tough to come back. So you got that. You have Kevin Huerter. He has not been Kevon in a very long time. I'm still looking for Kevon Huerter. Not seeing him. He's just Kevin these days. And then you have a guy that I know it seems like we're picking on him a bit, and it's not the case, even though it seems like it, Davion Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you talked about Mike Brown, hey, get in his chest. Dude, you're doing that against Colin Sexton. You're just drawing fouls. What are you doing? And I get it, but I also don't, right? Because we know what Colin Sexton wants to do. He wants to get to the cup and get to the free throw line. So those are the three things that were negative. Now from that, how much of that is real? How much of that is fake?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really concerned about Davion's defense. The shooting to me is something that I'm concerned with. I'm not overly scared by it at this moment in time because of how well he shot during the preseason, and I'm not saying that's definitely going to transfer over to the regular season, but it seems like he's made some real progress with his jump shot and the fact he goes 0-of-3 from the field, 0-of-2 from 3 yesterday. I don't think that's what he wanted to put out there on tape, but I think that's just going to be something much like De'Aaron's shot. We're just going to have to watch evolve throughout this season. I think it's going to come and go. I think you said it with De'Aaron earlier. Some nights he'll be able to hit him. Some nights it's just not going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's on nights where it's not going to be there that they're going to have to, more specifically, Davion's going to have to figure out where he can make his impact, because you're right to point out yesterday, didn't really feel the Davion defensive impact that you were hoping to feel every single night from him. So if he's not shooting and he's not playing defense or the defense that we've come accustomed to seeing, what is he really giving you? It was good to see him finish with 4 assists. I didn't really notice much of him in that playmaker role. I'm glad to see the numbers there, but I think he's got to figure out if it's not shooting, he's got to be able to distribute, and he's got to bring the defense. It's got to be two things have to be clicking for Davion every single night, and I think last night we kind of saw nothing click for him. So I don't think that's here to stay. The Kevin Huerter struggles, if anything's going to stay, I would pick that as the thing that might not ever switch. He really struggled during the preseason. Obviously, his postseason struggles were very well chronicled. shots just are not going in. And you could argue with shooters, it's a make or miss league. You know, you go through months where you shoot 50%, you go through months where you shoot 25%, and then it ends up averaging out to 40, 35, yeah, whatever it is. Right now, it's just not looking like Kevin Huerter's getting the same looks that he was last year. And I think it started to affect his confidence. He's just not hunting shots the same way he was before. And I think he's looking to kind of slowly get into a rhythm. And
yeah,
I feel like with him, it's got to be in the flow of things. I think he's got to be going full speed, because the second things slow down for you as a shooter, the second you're not shooting in rhythm and you're taking jump shots and you're thinking about your shot and you're thinking about your hitch and everything, you're thinking about your struggles, that's when you're going to struggle the most. And I haven't seen Kevin Huerter really have that comfort, that flow state, if you will, on the basketball floor in a really long time. And with the competition, pressure makes diamonds or it'll completely crumble you. And I think it's going to be interesting to see in these next couple weeks, like, the pressure is definitely on Kevin Huerter right now. How is he going to respond with Chris Duarte breathing right down his neck? Like, it might not be as cut and dry as, oh yeah, we're going to take some minutes away from Kevin. He only played 23 last night. There's a chance that if they insert Duarte into that starting lineup, they give Malik Monk more minutes. I'm not saying Kevin Huerter won't be stepping off the bench, but there's a chance he's only getting like 10 or so minutes on a given night. So I think things can turn really, really quickly if things continue to go south for Kevin and continue to go north for guys like Duarte.
Life is about evolution.
Yep.
And, you know, as good of a season as the Kings had last season, they want to be better.
Yep.
And if you're not helping us get better, you're helping us be worse. Mm-hmm. And it's a cold world, and I don't mean to put it out there. I see Jess on the YouTube chat saying that Kevin will be okay, guys. Well, when?
Yeah.
I just want to know when. I know it's game one, mm-hmm, but it's been going on for a while. You have, to your point, a Chris Duarte who plays better defense, and again, one game sample besides the preseason. He went 3-for-4 from three ball land.
Yep.
So I'm a better defender than you, and I'm shooting the rock better than you.
Yep.
So what is it exactly that you do here?
Exactly.
If you're not making shots, Kevin Huerter, what is it exactly that you do here?
Yep.
And maybe he'll figure it out.
Yep.
But it's not just Duarte. If I know the feeling. It's similar to baseball, right? When a team drops 15 runs and there's always one guy with an ofer, one guy who did not get a hit, and that's how Kevin Huerter felt, right? Because you got Vezenkov, then guys that you feel like you're better than, everybody, the ball is a beach ball to everybody else, but Vezenkov comes in, he's splashing his first three.
JaVale's out here. JaVale's
out here. Everybody's just feeling it. And Kevin's sitting over here just like, man, when is it my turn?
Yeah.
It's my turn now. Yeah. That's what he's thinking in his mind. And he's trying.
It's my turn.
It's my turn now. You told me it was my turn. And that's what Kevin Huerter's thinking. Look, you're going to have the opportunity. You are going to not by default, by what you've done so far.
Yes.
You're going to have the opportunity, man.
Absolutely.
But this is a situation where it's not just you. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on high alert. Mike Brown said there are only two established starters. He said that during preseason. We didn't necessarily believe him, but we believed that he wanted people to feel it.
Yeah,
so it's not just you. If you are not doing your job, if you are not doing what people have paid you to do, and specifically, you know, and you are in a more of a categorized role, and you can't make it happen, it's no disrespect. I'm sure he gets that. He's not out here trying to miss, but at some point, you got to put it together. So I think at this point, because of preseason, I think that's real. I think Davion defensively, I think that was fake. I think he's good defender. I think last night he just had a lot going on. And unfortunately, right now, that 1-for-7 from De'Aaron,
I think that's
real. Probably real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the shot is just, De'Aaron's shot is something that it's a work in progress, if you will. And we're going to have good nights. We're going to have, honestly, I think the biggest thing is, and I don't have a problem on you know, watching the game. I didn't have a problem with the number of threes he took, but for the most part, I don't want to see De'Aaron taking 7 threes. And I have no problem with what he took yesterday, because he was open on a majority, if not all of those shots. And if you have an open look, absolutely take it. I don't care if it's Domantas Sabonis or maybe not JaVale McGee, but anybody else can shoot it if they're open. But more times than not, I would like to see De'Aaron maybe not, especially if the shot isn't falling. Just don't take that many threes.
No, and that's most why nights. That's why it almost got to a point where it was, are you doing this on purpose? You know, are you trying
yeah,
to make
working
it a, are
through
you,
something?
Are you working through something?
Yeah.
Don't do that tomorrow. No. Don't. You can't work through things tomorrow. I am interested to see.
The level of intensity tomorrow.
Man,
really,
and my first
special,
time in the arena, right, seeing the Kings.
Right.
In Sacramento, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
I'm ready to go.
I think a big thing tomorrow, too, is going to be the defensive intensity because a lot was made last year of the home and road defensive splits. You know, I think the Kings were eighth in defensive rating on the road and 29th in defensive rating at home.
They're just trying to shoot the rock.
Well, they essentially said the fans give us energy, and so sometimes we come out not with the appropriate amount of energy because we know the fans are going to give us some. And on the road, they had to create their own. And which I don't love. That feels a lot like an excuse and not a reason to me. Mm-hmm. But I think that's going to be interesting to see night one against the Warriors, trying to set the tone, trying to make a statement. Are they going to come out like with their hair on fire defensively? And will that continue throughout the game? Or, you know, will they be too ramped up even? Are they going to try too hard to make a statement? I think tomorrow's going to tell us a lot about just how this team's going to attack the Hunter side or the is that correct? Yes, the Hunter side. Mm-hmm. Because I think we talked about how the Kings are going to juggle this being hunted because there's going to be teams like the Jazz and like, you know, OKC are going to look up at the Kings and say, we want to be what you were last year. But there's also still a couple teams where the Kings have to show the Warriors, the Lakers, the Nuggets, maybe the Suns to an extent, like, we're in the same category, if not better than you as well. And so seeing how they're going to approach mentally going into a game where they feel like we want to make a statement against these guys and we have to show on all aspects that we're a better team than you, I cannot wait for tomorrow and for Sunday as well.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, more around the NBA, and a little later we will get to the Niners with no Brock Purdy and no Debo. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
We are back. Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins. If you're just joining us, thank you for joining us. If you've been listening, thank you for listening to the first episode of Styles and Watkins, Chris's birthday. We're having a good time. Beaming or dreaming. I saw a couple more come in from Dwayne, beaming. Everybody's beaming right now. If you think that based on what you saw from the Kings last night, they could get past the second round, you're dreaming like our producer Kyle. Mm. If you don't think they can, so continue to send in your calls, 916-339-1140.
Someone's got to be on my side.
Someone has
anyone.
To. You would think. You I would think. Be. But we had some really passionate calls earlier, so thank you for that. We see you on the text line as well. 209 saying, not sure if it was mentioned, but Lyles didn't even play. Yes. Right. No Trey Lyles.
No Trey Bay.
Right, so that's another guy who's just going to continue to add to that depth. Thank you, 209. So you love to see it. Mm-hmm. You love to see it. Beaming or dreaming. We're going to take a quick Kings break to talk the red and gold.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. Mm-hmm. And no Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. No Debo. Mm-hmm. You'd think that would have been enough, no Debo, but you had Brock against your Vikings. Mm-hmm. But the Vikings came out. Kirko Chains, as they're calling him, because he wore the top 10 chains. Kirk Cousins looked good. Actually, speaking of, this is the 8-year anniversary of the You Like That. So we will get that sound for you because you haven't heard it before.
No, never.
Yeah, I know a lot of people probably never heard that sound, but Kirk Cousins let it come back when he was with Washington, and he said, You Like That, and
now
the rest is history.
You Like That. Nowadays, he's saying You Like That.
Get out.
That.
Just get out right now.
It's not from my brain. It's
so
others.
I'll let you do a victory lap.
Please.
The Vikings, even though you didn't think the Vikings had a chance, your Vikings.
But I would just like to say that I said the only way the Niners would lose that game is if they let Kirk Cousins throw for 300 plus yards. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did. For whatever reason, Kirk Cousins, I'll tell you why.
Wait, no Justin Jefferson.
Showcase game.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to show Kyle Shanahan and 49er Nation what they've been missing out on.
Wow.
I mean, a lot has been made of that relationship between Kyle Shanahan and Kirk Cousins. And Kyle likes to wax poetic about Kirk. And Kirk forever has talked about how his experience in Washington with Kyle was transformational for him and all this stuff. And, yeah, I definitely think that going into that game, Kirk knew Monday night there's a lot of narrative about Kirk Cousins mm-hmm. playing on primetime, going
like
against
that.
His fabled
like
star-crossed coach lover and Kyle Shanahan. And I think he felt like it was a time to prove something.
Yeah, it might have even been a tryout.
It might have been. It definitely might have been. It might have been a nice hands-on opportunity for Kyle to look at a guy that he's been fantasizing about for a really long time. And mm-hmm. I definitely think that played a part in that game. Of course, Jordan Addison was absolutely ridiculous.
Yes.
Just made Tre'Varius Ward his child. Like,
yes.
He really...
Ward got him the first time,
he
though.
He did. He got him the first time. But I would definitely say Jordan Addison got the better of that battle. And, you know, frankly, the Niners... I mean, it was a weird game. When you're going to start off the first possession with a Christian McCaffrey fumble,
mm-hmm.
you know things just are not going how they would normally go. And I don't think the McCaffrey injury... played a massive part. Like, I think, you know, it's one of those where if McCaffrey, I mean, he continued to score touchdowns, but if he has a terrible game, we're probably all pointing towards, the injury. And if he has a great game, it's, look at him persevering. But I think for the most part, that was Brock Purdy threw the game away at the end of the
that.
So
he completely did.
Didn't like that. I don't think
he
Niners fans liked it. And this is what I'm struggling with now, because Brock Purdy being out, concussion on the plane, coming back, showed concussion symptoms, and now they're all of these stats saying what Brock Purdy looked like before,
right,
where they believe the concussion happened and after. Mm-hmm. So do we just throw those mistakes away and say it's because he was concussed? I don't know.
That's what people seem to be doing right now. I mean, I
is that what you're doing?
That's not what I'm doing. I still very much took note of those bad throws from Brock Purdy, because that to me, it's all part of we're still collecting the entire narrative on what it is Brock Purdy is as a quarterback. He still hasn't played a full season of NFL games, and so I think every game that we see has to be taken into account, and you have to try and change or adjust what you think of Brock Purdy based on what you're seeing. And this isn't a new thing. Like, it's just the last two games, he has looked really, really rough. He's almost looked like a completely different guy.
Well, he looked great in the first three quarters.
He did,
against the Vikings.
Yeah.
It was at the end, and it's funny because we talked about Bryce Young, how they won't even let him, the Panthers won't even
right.
let him do the QB sneak. I've joked and said Brock looks like a tech bro that I would see on BART pre-pandemic, just walking into the city with his Patagonia jacket and backpack on. He's not a big dude.
No.
So does that make you rethink? And he's been good mm-hmm. at he's not as good as Jimmy, but he's been good at those sneaks. And we all know about the brotherly shove and what's going on in Philadelphia.
Thing.
When he gets back, is that a play they maybe think twice on and say, well, we paid McCaffrey a lot of money, let's
for
just
sure.
run our running back?
Definitely. I definitely think so. Or maybe, you know, why does it have to be a quarterback that takes that snap? Like, mm-hmm. why can't it be a tight end? Why can't that be Kyle Juszczyk? Why can't that be George Kittle or Deebo Samuel, someone who's a little bit more physical and a little bit more used to that inline running? That's probably where I would see them going. I mean, you know, how many quarterback injuries do you have to have running the football? Obviously, Trey Lance last year and now Brock this year before you kind of learn the lesson of stop putting these guys in harm's way. And of course,
Jimmy G tore his ACL on a run too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't even say that, you know, that play call was Kyle's fault or anything, but it is just another reminder that you do have to keep it really, you have to keep safe with these quarterbacks, especially with the 49ers and just the carousel of quarterbacks that they've had to deal with directly because of injury. And now you can add another one to the list. Now Sam Darnold enters the chat as another 49ers quarterback to get a start. And it's going to be interesting to see how he performs because, you know, Sam Darnold was somebody who Kyle Shanahan, we talked a lot about Kirk Cousins and Kyle's love for Kirk.
Yeah.
There was a lot of quotes from Kyle Shanahan this offseason about Sam Darnold and how well he throws the ball. And
best arm. Somebody said best arm in the quarterback room.
I believe he called him the human jugs machine to say, like, he just always is throwing a perfect ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of smoke behind the Kyle Shanahan has an affinity for Sam Darnold fire. And it'll be interesting to see if Sam Darnold has a really good performance, how the chat kind of sparks up during a bye week. And then if he has a bad performance, it'll be interesting to see everyone who's been critical of Brock Purdy and, you know, not so much Niner fans, but everyone outside of the Niner fandom.
Oh, yeah.
like if Sam Darnold goes out there and looks terrible, it's going to give, I think, people a whole new appreciation for what Brock Purdy's been able to do.
Right, right. It's a tough spot for the Niners.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't call it lose-lose because a lot of it is just social media chatter and things of that nature. But if Sam Darnold balls out, the Brock Purdy disrespect will continue.
It's going to get elevated. It's going to say, look, see, I told you, here's Sam Darnold, a guy that we know is bad. We've seen, we have evidence, we have years and years of data that says Sam Darnold is this guy.
Right.
But clearly, put in this system with these weapons, all of a sudden, he looks fantastic. And that's what we've been saying about Brock Purdy this whole time.
That's what we've been saying about Brock.
I cannot wait for that discourse. As someone who just loves drama.
Oh,
I'm going to roll around in it because it's going to be, it's just going to be cannibalism. It's going to be
people
trying to hurt each other who are really fighting for the same goal.
So there's that part of it if Sam Darnold balls out.
Yeah.
And then if he plays poorly, I would find it hard to believe that the Niners win if he plays poorly, especially you're playing Joe Burr.
Yeah.
Okay, you're playing Joe Icy, right? Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Also, Joe Burrow, you better.
This is
you better win this game.
Well,
Joe.
This is around the time where the Bengals say, "Hey, we were just playing like that meme where you lean forward playing the PS4 or the PS5."
Yep,
this is around the time where the Bengals start to figure it out. So the Niners are in a really precarious position, and ultimately, you just want to win.
Yep.
But I will say, Niner fans, it's almost like a fly in the house, right? When you think you got the fly and you thought you swatted it, but you can't find it anywhere, and then it starts flying around again. QB controversy.
Yep.
The Niners thought you finally got it out of the house. You opened the window, then the sliding door, and you trapped it. You thought it was gone, and it reappears just like Thanos. It is inevitable with this Niners fan base. If Sam Darnold balls out,
people are
saying there will not be a quarterback controversy. How do you figure? If he balls, if he's just middle of the road, then fine. But if he balls, stop playing.
Would it be almost worse if he does almost exactly what Brock does?
I love it. Either way.
Because balling might be, we might have different definitions, but what if Sam Darnold is good? Mm-hmm. Like, what if he's not awesome? What if he's not incredible?
Then what if he's safe?
Like 250 and two touchdowns and maybe a turnover every other game?
I think either way, there's going to be conversations.
Yeah. Well, and then Kirk just kind of threw his hat into the conversation with his performance on Monday.
I'm back, right? You like that? I'm back. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, there was a man on the Niners that fans were really disrespectful to. And after watching this game last week or earlier this week, Niner fans got to apologize. And I'm going to tell you who it is when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
You like that? You like that?
Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Good afternoon, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. After a 130-114 victory, the Sacramento Kings are 1-0. Harrison Barnes scored 27 first-half points, and the Kings set a franchise opening night record with 13 first-half three-pointers. Brennan Nunez has his four takeaways from the game up right now at SacktownSports.com, which you guys can check out anytime. Brock Purdy is unlikely to play Sunday for the San Francisco 49ers while he goes through the NFL concussion protocol. Deebo Samuel has already been ruled out for the Niners. And it's homecoming night for Sacramento State football this Saturday versus the Idaho State Bengals. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. Come early and enjoy the festivities. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. Those are your headlines. Reminder, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Now let's return to more of Styles and Watkins.
Your new home for 49ers football in the 916, Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports. First show, Styles and Watkins, taking you up to 2 p.m. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see we're trying out some different things. I'm trying to get this mic right. We're going to see if we can do some standing, right? So we're messing around in here, trying to see what's going to work. Got to mix in some, got to stretch the Achilles a little bit, get some calisthenics in there, celebrating Chris's birthday as we talk Kings, and we're getting into a little bit of
Niners action, and there's somebody that I said Niner fans are real disrespectful to. And for as much as I love George Kittle, I think he is the heart and soul in certain ways. As much as I love Brandon Ayuk and his ability to make plays, and he really should have been targeted more, I think, in that game as well. I think it's time that some people, some Niner fans, apologize to Deebo Samuel.
Apologize.
Because a lot of people, when we have this conversation of Brandon Ayuk or Deebo, well, you know, he doesn't run the cleanest routes, and that one time he had this trade request, and he was in the club, and he was saying he didn't want to be a Niner. Enough. Deebo Samuel, and then you get Christian McCaffrey, and all of a sudden,
he's replaceable.
People just want to ship Deebo up out of here. Yeah. And you saw against the Vikings, I know the concussion situation with Brock Purdy. You need Deebo.
Yeah.
Deebo. Deebo is that guy.
He is.
He sets the tone. Nobody wants to tackle him. Nobody wants to tackle him in the NFL.
Yeah.
The NFL, the National Freaks League, they all love to hit. They see Deebo coming, and they look the other way.
Yeah.
They run the other way when Deebo, he sets the tone.
People don't hit
him. He hits people on offense.
Yeah.
He puts people in bad situations.
Yeah.
But Niner fans wanted to move off of him. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you got a pick, Ayuk is the more pure receiver. You're not wrong. Mm-hmm. But the game on the line, you need 10 yards any way you want it.
Yeah.
Right? Any way you want it.
On the ground, in the
air. On the ground, in the air.
You can even
Christian McCaffrey's only averaging about 3.3 yards these last couple games. Mm-hmm. You got it between Deebo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, and Kittle. Whose hands are you putting the ball in?
I mean, if push comes to shove, I'll probably still pick McCaffrey first, but Deebo is definitely, I mean, it's 1A and 1B.
It's 1A
and
1B.
Like, it's not, if you give the ball to Deebo, I don't think many people would say, I think some would, but I don't think many people would say, like, ah, you have to give the ball to McCaffrey. Then.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they're both just
it's
they're
similar Deebo.
Weapon. I mean, yeah, both of those guys. If your season's on the line, it'd be tough to not give him the ball.
You got to give it to Deebo, and people just have such short memories, and people just forget what Deebo did. He carried that team on his back. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Literally, these last couple years with Jimmy Garoppolo, who the Raiders paid, but that's a different conversation.
Right.
We know Jimmy was limited. So everybody that decided that if you had to choose between Ayuk and Deebo because Ayuk is younger, I get it. I understand why logically it makes more sense.
Yeah.
But what I'm telling you is that when you have Deebo out there, the whole look of the team, the whole personality of the team is different.
Yeah. It's like Deebo Samuel is almost just like I don't know if this is a perfect example, but he's almost like a boxing jab where it's like, I feel like Ayuk is a little bit more of like a counter punch or maybe, you know, he can be an overhand or something like that where, like he's explosive and you need a guy like him. He almost complements everything that Deebo doesn't do incredibly well. And Ayuk really picks up. And like you said, he's a little bit more of a traditional receiver, but Deebo is just it's like Novocaine. It hits you and it works every single time. I mean, you can just give him balls on the slant routes. You can give him the ball with room to run, and he's gonna make the most of the opportunity. And again, he's gonna deliver a physical punch that makes that entire team a physical team. Obviously, the Niners defense between Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw and Warner running around there, they're going to inflict pain on a lot of people on the defensive end. But Deebo brings a little bit of power in an offense that is mainly finesse, an offense that's built around movement and misdirection and you know, quickness and speed. And Deebo just brings a whole different element that I don't think a lot of teams are expecting when you think, oh, yeah, we're going to play the 49ers. It's going to be a lot of running after the catch. And again, we're going to have to be quick and you know, stay in tune to all the motions happening. You don't think of, oh, this team's going to come and hit me in the mouth. And I think Deebo really sets the tone for all of those other things are still very much true. You do have to worry about that. But you also have to worry about the fact that this guy is going to come straight down the middle and he's going to hit you in the face every single time.
Every single time.
On top of that speed, on top of the misdirection, you also have to worry about getting hit in the face.
Well, and a lot of people have things to say about Debo, and no, he's not the crispest route runner, right? We know what he lacks. But earlier this year, right, you had Debo and Purdy connect on that fade route. That looked like a route to me.
Gosh, that was awesome.
So,
that was a great throw.
I just think that, you know, people have short memories. That's fine. That's good. But seeing, and the whole game plan was a mess with the Vikings because I don't know. Did George Kittle play? I mean, they gave him the handoff on the third or fourth and one or something like that. He's not getting targeted enough. There's a conversation. People are getting on me on X about, well, he's got to be targeted, this, that. Look, man, I don't know how many routes he's running. Something is wrong somewhere. So maybe I'm not coming down George Kittle's road directly.
Yeah.
But part of being an elite tight end to me is catching the football at decently high rate. That was one of the things you were doing. So if it's because of the offensive line and now you have to turn him into a tackle or whatever it is, an offensive guard, then that's on Kyle Shanahan, right? But I do think some of it is also, you used to include George Kittle in that conversation for inflicting pain, and I'm just not seeing it. I do think he's the emotional leader.
He's starting to show some signs of age.
He looks older.
He's not getting the same separation he used to get, and he's not nearly as physical or as looking to deal punishment as he used to be.
Well, and, you know, after that, you have George Kittle not being able to put out the same amount of receptions and all these things that he's been doing. But at the same time, they go out and get Latu, and he's a complete miss.
Yeah.
He couldn't even get on the field.
Yeah.
So
they can't catch the ball.
The tight end situation, and we kind of messed around with some trades earlier, not to fire up the trade generator that we've alluded to throughout the show, but you have to fix something. I mean, we like Dawson Knox for the Bills. Even they had to get somebody else to kind of counter both sides of that. So just having George Kittle just is not enough.
Yeah.
And they know it's not enough, but you are unable to find that secondary tight end. I don't know what the Niners are going to do. Now you don't have Debo. You don't have Brock. And I see it here. I think it was from the Pike 916. If Sam Darnold goes out and throws for 350 with a couple tuds,
it's gonna be hard.
And he's balling. How do you pull him?
Especially going into a bye week, you could argue you got some time to integrate him into some things. You know, who knows? Brock Purdy concussions.
Hey, we're just playing it safe.
Exactly.
We're playing it safe. Now, will this happen? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the Bengals have a pretty good pass rush. And like you said, you're going up against Joe Burrow. But if you beat a premier quarterback and you do it in a way that looked very much at least like Brock, but maybe a throw here or there that you're thinking, could Brock make that throw?
Yeah.
Now, the concussion thing, like you're not putting everything on the concussion. I don't know what I'm doing, to be completely honest with you. I think it would be a little bit too much for me to throw the whole game or throw every
the whole because
they have the pre-concussion stats and post. So, okay, I mean, I guess that's fine. To me, it doesn't really make a difference because it's almost law and order when they say strike that from the record, right? Concussion or not, we saw it, and you can't take that away. So now you don't get to play, and now if Sam Darnold balls out, then you go into the bye week. So the last thing everybody remembers are those two picks from Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold balling out. Now, will Sam Darnold ball out? I have no clue. I have no clue, but I do think it will be a conversation. I think people out there that are saying it doesn't matter what Sam Darnold does, there won't be a controversy. I think that's ridiculous. Because stats-wise, we know Brock is a winner, but stats-wise, it's not like he's doing things that are not repeatable.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So how repeatable?
We'll see.
I guess we'll have to see. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back to some Kings talk, your expectations for the season, all that and more. When we get back, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, first show vibes. The vibes are vibing, having a good time. Thank you for the calls.
Thank you for the text. Thank you on the YouTube chat. If you're driving around the beautiful city of Sacramento, thank you for listening to us. And you can continue to listen to us every single day, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So, Chris, you know, I think we should kind of go back and forth here a little bit as we continue to get to know each other. For those who don't know me, right, my name is Alan Stiles.
What up?
Grew up in the Bay Area, Concord, to be exact. SeaWorld, as I call it. Nobody calls it that, but I call it that. Not the one with the dolphins.
Yeah.
It's just called a sea, right? So grew up in Concord, went to De La Salle High School. No, I did not play football. I was busy playing baseball, where I did that for a very long time. Played in Philadelphia, Temple University. Finished up. I was doing radio in the Bay, and now I'm here.
Yes, glad to have
Chris,
you.
Chris, you can go ahead. I know you've been here, but
yeah.
Do your thing.
Hi, how's it going? Chris Watkins, born October 26th. Yeah, I mean, I've been working here at the radio station, actually. I was thinking about it the other day. I've been here for pushing on 10 years in February. Just doing the grind, you know? Like, you know, everybody's kind of got their own path, especially in this, like, radio industry. Some people, you know, like Kyle Draper, do TV and then make their way over to radio. Or, you know, some people, whatever. Everybody's got their own path. And I just kind of figured I put myself in the building, work my way up through promotions, through digital, through all that stuff.
Just from
and
the gutter.
Eventually, you know, talent will be recognized, and that's what I was kind of banking on, and worked out pretty well. And now I've been doing this on-air thing for, man, just about 8 months almost.
Grassroots.
Like that.
That's grassroots right there.
Yeah.
Gotta get in. Gotta get in where you fit in.
Yep.
So here's what we're gonna do. We see you on the YouTube chat. We see you call line, text line 916-339-1140. We want you to get to know us.
Yeah.
Are there any questions that you have for us?
Right.
Hop in the chat. Let us know anything that we can do so you feel like you know us a little bit better. Uh-huh. Do you have any questions? I know we've kicked it a couple times outside the stew.
For
but
sure.
You got any questions for me?
I mean, I got to ask, like, we'll just get some, like, basic sports questions out of the way. Like, favorite player of all time is something Whitey asked me, like, my first day here.
Okay.
Or his first day here, I should say.
Favorite player in any
sport? Of all time, any sport. Your favorite athlete, I guess.
It's probably
got to
be Ken Griffey Jr.
Such a great answer.
Yeah, lefty, lefty, grew up on, hi, this is Ken Griffey Jr. Let's play Major League Baseball. N64.
So good.
So I got to go with Ken.
The backwards hat, all that
stuff, man. I still have Griffey's. You know, well,
really?
I just got the new Griffey's. Yeah. The Griffey, I think they were the anniversaries. I got those. They made the trip over to Sacramento, so I might rock them tomorrow for Friday. But yeah, it'd have to be Ken Griffey Jr.
That's a great answer.
So who's yours?
I would probably say my favorite athlete of all time is probably Randy Moss, just because I got to watch him a lot as like a kid and like in my formative years. And like when I first started watching football, it was just, it really had the feeling of like, oh, this guy just scores every time.
Right.
Like every play is just a deep ball that goes to Randy Moss and he scores a 50-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And like as a kid, I don't think there's anything better that I could have watched.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It really
felt like
Madden.
No, I thought you were gonna go Dante Culpepper or something.
Dante was my guy for sure. I was a big Dante Culpepper guy. I was like a flag football quarterback who was a little bit, you know, huskier. So I definitely was like, you know, Dante, I could definitely fit Dante as my player mold.
Yeah.
And, you know, basketball, obviously the Kings have had
a
good couple lean years, we'll say. So it's been tough in terms of favorite King of all time, but I would probably, my favorite of all time, and I'm not pandering here, is probably Doug Christie. I really enjoyed Doug's game.
Okay.
He was really great. And, of course, he worked here for a good period of time.
Yes, yes. But that's not why.
That's not why. That's definitely not why. It definitely helped. Doug the person is even better. But Doug is a basketball player. That's just kind of, you know, like a lunch pail guy, defensive minded, would guard Kobe, but would also definitely not be a slouch on the offensive end either. Could give you 10 points on any given night.
Yeah.
Love Doug's game.
All right.
So good.
We see on the YouTube chat, Jess is trying to get me caught up. What's your favorite word that is
Come on.
Come on. Nicely done, but I will not be answering that.
Not on day one.
Nicely done. Andrew Cardwell, Stiles, welcome. Came here from the radio just to welcome you. Thank you for
that,
Andrew. Thank you for everybody that's been listening. You know, I just felt like
then throughout the show, this will happen organically, but you know, it's those, the intro situation where you start the show, you're turning on your car, you hop on, you're thinking, we know who Chris is, who is this guy, and what do we got going on? But we got some special things planned. Beaming or dreaming, I think that was outstanding. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to do that anytime the Kings either have a good game or a really bad game. Yep. You know what I mean?
A milestone game.
So we're going to keep that rocking and rolling as well. And as we talk about relationships and how they can kind of mold and change, it's an interesting one. The connections, obviously, I'm from the Bay.
Yep.
Now I'm in Sacramento.
Yes, sir.
You got the Warriors. You got the Kings. They're playing each other. There's always been this Kings have just always been kind of cherry picking a lot of what the Warriors are doing. And now I'm wondering, 916-339-1140, if it bothers you that De'Aaron Fox has signed with the Curry brand. We have the sound. He was on NBA Today. I guess they're doing a full feature, but here is the initial kind of note about it with De'Aaron and Steph on the show.
It is rare that two star players from opposing teams are sitting next to one another, but this is for a special occasion. What's going on?
I'm the very first Curry brand athlete, and I'm extremely excited about the opportunity that he's given me, and I want to take this, obviously, individual. I want to continue to grow, but also I want to help his brand as well. So there's a mutual respect and a mutual agreement that we have, and we want to be able to grow this together.
This is definitely a special occasion. You know, I've been rocking, you know, Curry Brand Under Armour since 2013, and Curry Brand's been in existence since 2020. But to be able to partner with somebody like D. Fox while we're still competing, while we're still battling, and so for me, like, to be sitting next to him to understand what this opportunity really means and allow him to, you know, take it and run with it is a dream come true for me, because there's no better guy than him.
Throughout the playoffs, this happened a lot. Like, we would show our team would show the shoes, and they're like, oh, he's wearing Steph, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I'm going to bust his ass in the shoes. Like, that's how I'm thinking about it. Like, they're like, oh, you see someone with your shoes on, you like, I got him. I'm like, well, what if you see someone with your shoes on, and they're coming at you? So it's like, it's kind of a mind game on both sides, I feel like. And I'm like, I'm trying to play it on this side.
Wow.
Infiltrate from within.
Yeah.
Trojan horse this thing.
I don't know.
That's what I like to hear.
I don't know. It is getting warm in here, because I think there are a lot of different stances that you can take on this one. And I'm very, very interested in what other people have to say. Does it bother you at all that De'Aaron Fox is signed to Curry Brand? It's really, my memory is the first of its kind, right? The only other person would be LeBron. LeBron hasn't signed anybody. They're on the Rich Paul situation, but shoes?
Yeah.
You got on Curry's and you're playing Curry. Does it bug you? I know it's going to bug some people. Yeah. You don't think it will.
I don't think so. I mean, he's been wearing Under Armour's for a while now. Like, he's been wearing them for, it hasn't been an official signing or anything, but he's been wearing them for the good half of last year, if not the entirety of last year, maybe like a full two seasons now, he's been wearing Curry's. And, you know, it's
okay. So, would
I like him to not wear Curry's? Yeah, for sure. But, like, is it, you know, it's not going to be something.
So, the De'Aaron,
like, this
Fox,
guy is soft.
The De'Aaron, because he hasn't had shoes before, right?
He has not,
so, the
no.
D,
well, he had
the D Fox, like, ones,
he had a Nike shoe that was like a limited release.
The D Fox ones under the Curry brand, and they look fire.
The Curry brand Fox ones.
The Curry brand Fox ones.
Oh, I think they're going to call them Swipa ones.
That would be good.
I think they already did. I think that's what the Nike one was called.
So they come out and they look fire, and Chris is walking and he passes Foot Locker, and they're right there in downtown Sacramento.
Oof.
Can Chris buy them or not?
Whoa, that is
what?
No, I put myself in that situation, and I just had never considered.
But they
that
just look. They look fire to you. Could you bring yourself to buy them?
Maybe the first ones. Maybe the first ones, just for like the. The iconic nature of the fact that it is the first ones, but, you know, putting myself in that situation, I really don't know if me personally, if I can get through, because I'm also a special case where, like, I'm so far on the opposite end of the Steph spectrum where it could not be a worse person for me to have to suck it up and try and appreciate.
I hear what De'Aaron Fox is saying. I do.
Yeah. A Trojan horse, man. It's a tale as old as time.
But I'm also thinking, you're lucky, Steph, because you know Steph is a troll. You know that. Yes. And yep. I'm thinking he might pay Drake to have some Drake line in there. Like, Drake, I make it do what it do. You trying to ball on me, but you wearing my shoe. What if he just dropped that?
I really hope you did not write that down before the show. I mean, it was good, but I really hope that's off the top. That's crazy.
That's just off the top of the dome. Because
I cannot,
I'm just saying.
No. I mean, I would not put it past Steph to bring this back in some full circle, corny, haha, I got you kind of
like
way.
Like Steph wears the De'Aaron Fox ones, yes, when they play
exactly,
each other.
Exactly, and says,
and then cooks,
you know,
him.
Oh, it's cool to do it in somebody's shoe. Exactly, saying something like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I probably will not be racing to Foot Locker to buy them anytime soon, but
you know what?
I can look past it.
I know some people. Yeah. I got a great birthday gift for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you the shoes.
Don't do that. Don't do that, because I'm not good at faking reactions, and I might
say, why did you do this?
You should have kept your money.
I'm going to get you the shoes. I will.
I would prefer you not.
Let me talk to some people. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're looking deeper into the numbers. Chris has some numbers, some stats that he noticed throughout the game, and we're going to break those down when we get back. That and much more when we come back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Like Drake, I make it do what it do. You trying to ball on me, but you wearing my shoe.